Pocket Music with Fairbairn and Russell. Welcome to the Market Musings podcast, the Market Musings podcast with Doc Holliday. Welcome back again, Doc. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. Good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we have Kenny as well. How are you doing?
Well, I've had better days. I should tell everybody that I failed to turn up for a podcast earlier on, which was not very good.
You did. You failed.
I was out walking. with my health kicking. I suddenly checked my emails and I had that 15-minute reminder and I was like, shit. Nothing you can do. It's 2 miles to the house. It's one of these things. So
you could have tuned in on your phone, but then again, we wouldn't have got the best out of you, would you? Because, you know, you're trying to concentrate on your steps and it would be difficult to try and run a podcast whilst marching back to the house for 2 miles. But it might have been fun. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Doc's done them from the beach before, haven't you? Doc, I've heard the tide rolling in.
I've recorded podcasts, in all sorts of situations. It'd be surprising, really. But, look, you've missed one. You just black mark against your name, Kenny. chalk one up. A nice chalked up blue tick for Mark.
Yeah.
And I've spent most of my day pondering the markets and some of what's been going on, which has been good.
Well, I saw that you said you don't normally get fixated on the day trading, but you commented on that today. But I can't blame you for that because I was doing the same thing.
Yeah, look, I think one of the things for me is we've talked about ECR for quite a while. It's quite clear from the volume over the last week. It's been creeping up. We've seen another pretty significant increase in volume today. Classic market making sort of behavior in order to try and drive the sentiment against the direction of play. So, you know, we've got lots and lots of buys being reported as sells based on, their movement on the order book. I mean, remember, the market makers decide where the bid and the offer sits, and therefore, depending on where the trades are going through, they can pretty much determine the way that it appears visually towards the user, and that's quite interesting. I noticed that Berenberg in the morning auction were bidding 3.1 pence a share, and that was actually the ask at the time. So, you know, little things like that are good indicators that you're gonna have a stronger session, and strong session we did. It's going exceptionally well. There's lots of tails wagging and bits and pieces of rumours going around the markets now that the guys on the ground have got a few things additional to just the rig being on site. But, you know, let's wait and see. We've got to stand by our beds and wait and see what happens in the market. But, yeah, interesting times at ECR. Don't know what you guys are looking at or what you're hearing and seeing.
Well, the ECR, obviously, I mean, that looks like a 52-week high, as far as I can see. I can never remember ECR in the last year being as high as that, probably in the last couple of years, to be honest. And definitely 50 million shares nearly traded, and I'm sure there'll be a few trades getting reported later on. Cracking volume. And it's interesting. I mean, obviously, they've got that shed now out in, is it Bendigo, which is kind of equidistant between Creswick and the Baileson project. So they've seem to have chosen a wise location, and it looks pretty big as well from the RNS. I can't remember, but I mean, I'm going to say it was 1,000 square metres. I might be talking absolute rubbish, but something like that rings in my mind. But the fact that they're putting in this full, it's almost like the full sampling process. Obviously, when they get to the end, they can actually assay themselves, but it's obviously not, they can't submit it as a report. They would need to get a third party to verify it. But no, there definitely seems to be going places, and they seem to be thinking out of the box rather than just doing the usual drill and send your assays away. They seem to be trying to get one step ahead of the game, because the assays in Victoria and Australia, probably whole world in general, are taking, you know, 3 or 4 months. In some cases, it's just ridiculous. So what's the point of spending £250,000 in a drilling campaign? The first hole hits gold, and then the next nine hit nothing. You know, and if you've got the ability to test that first hole within 3 or 4 days and get a rough idea if you're on the gold or not, then you can redirect your drilling program to where the gold is.
Yeah.
So it's a cost-effective way of basically managing your drill program and almost guiding it where the gold is. So it's quite a smart move, in my opinion.
It was. I mean, I did the interview with Craig, didn't I? I mean,
yeah.
I topped up after that interview went out because I thought that he sounded very, very bullish. He sort of come out again to tell us what's going on. And as you just said, I think having all that set up is really, really a smart move. He gave me a lot of renewed confidence. We've seen the volumes picking up. And here we are today, you know.
I think
what investors have to kind of remember here, boys, is that, you know, the volume is the massive indicator here.
Yeah.
You know, we can have these, we can talk about big sheds, we can talk about big companies potentially being in talks with them, we can talk about big rigs and renaming rigs and all of the rest of it. But the reality is the market really does give us the biggest indication as to what's going on. I think we've seen that from the order book today. It's not something I spend a lot of my time doing these days, but I thought it was quite pertinent. And the number of trades, I think it's something like 500 trades today. So it's getting into that sort of really liquid stage now and definitely traveling the right direction. The 52-week high was tested probably 3 or 4 times. It's now broke through that and it's closed really strong and solid. I expect a big leg up on Wednesday, or I certainly expect a leg up, better levels to come. So we're going to see a new high, I think.
Yeah, no, it's definitely... It's definitely one to watch. I mean, it could hit 5P. You know, once it starts to get its legs on, I mean, it's broke that 3P, which seemed to be the mental barrier that everybody was talking about, and it doesn't take much to get moving after that. You know, a 30% day puts it up a penny right away, which just sounds crazy, but I mean, it's possible. It's possible. And who knows what news ECR have got coming. You know, this might be... This might be news-related, we don't know. So we just see how the next couple of days pan out. And it's quite good it's happened on a Monday.
Yeah,
sometimes
exactly.
These things happen on a Friday, and by the time it comes round to the Monday, you know, it drops off. But this is the first day of the week, so it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the week pans out for ECR.
Anyway, yeah, this is actually Tuesday, Kenny, just to...
Is it Tuesday? Oh, I'm having a bad day.
But yesday was Monday, and it did start to move
Kenny,
yesterday.
Best thing you can do is go and take a lie down. Me and Mark will just cover a few stocks, and then we'll call it a day, eh? That walking really is having a funny effect on you, isn't it?
This health kick's no good. If you need to get back to this drinking, I mean, this is more than 3 weeks with no alcohol. No, I must admit.
I mean, look, we've talked about ECR having a good day. I mean, you know, Helium One, one of the companies that you got behind with Attis Oil and Gas. I mean, that's had an absolute belt today, hasn't it? Up 50%. It's not one that I had myself. I certainly think that at this level, it's a great opportunity to just sell. If you're holding the Attis shares and to book some gains, but I suppose for the new story and the new money, it's there again. I mean, I don't know what to make of it. I've had some skepticism based on the people involved, but what a day today! I mean, congratulations to anybody who's holding shares in Helium One.
Well, I'm holding shares in Helium One, but I don't have them, so that's my problem at the moment. And I believe there's quite a few people in the same boat. So my shares have disappeared into the Jarvis black hole, but I don't think it's just a Jarvis problem in general. I think there's quite a few people out there that can't get a hold of their shares. And I've seen a couple of emails flying about that it was a dating error or something. So listen, I would have probably sold my shares by now if I had them. So it's probably turned out as a blessing in disguise that I've not got my shares physically yet. But Attis has been a great one for me because I got it, obviously, the first time round before the announcement was made. And obviously that amalgamation clause kept it trading. So this is really my second bite at the cherry. So now I'm delighted. I've seen some scary valuations getting thrown around about, but Helium's it's a big unknown, isn't it? There's not that many companies out there, but its peers are trading like ridiculously high prices, so they are. So
I don't know. When you get these situations, a bit like, you know, we know Tirupati Graphite are coming to market. They're raising some money now with Primary Bid. The cornerstone or the, you know, the institutional side of the raise has already been completed. So that company's coming regardless. They've been out doing a little bit of marketing and beating the drum. I just think when you've got a unique sort of product like this, you know, you can see some crazy valuations. And, you know, we know that Helium's pairs are huge. In comparator. Interesting story as well with the graphite.
Yeah, I mean, I think that comes at the 11th of December, I think.
Is that what
it is? Yeah, I think, Mark, you interviewed, is it Shishir? Is that the guy's name?
Shishir, from Tirupati. Yeah, nice guy. Graphite and graphene, which I think graphene's more exciting. I remember reading in a BBC News article, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago when graphene was discovered. As in, this is like a wonder material. It's gotten so many uses that science is still really developing and yet to uncover. Of course, graphite. We all know the uses for graphite in lithium batteries. So I'd never heard of Tirupati until I spoke to the CEO Shishir. They're still raising, aren't they? And it's open to private investors, isn't it? Through Primary Bid.
Anybody who just logs into Primary Bid can have can register there. I think you've got to have a minimum order of £100. It's coming at about 45p. There's been some suggestion that there's some people in there at a really low level that have been in early and therefore is a big markup. I mean, the business has changed massively. They've done a number of private funding rounds, I think at sort of 10, 25, 35p and now 45p. But I think that the business is, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to meet Shishir, and I saw him at a presentation at Momentous Events some years ago. He's something of a benchmark for keynote speakers on this subject. So I don't think he's kind of new to this business. In fact, quite the opposite. I also had the benefit of going up to the Graphene Innovation Centre, and I met Neil Ricketts of Fusarium. And they'd obviously been quite popular a year or two ago when their shares went from about 10 pence to 200. And it was around the time when the BBC were talking about this. I think if you had a graphene, the width of a human hair, it could lift the weight of a fucking Sherman tank or something like that. And to be honest, they'd already started to have a look at Tirupati's produce at the Graphene Innovation Centre in Manchester. And they said it was good. They said it was really good. So whether we see more from it, I don't know. Certainly not, giving an endorsement that people should be falling over themselves to throw all the money into this raise. But like the Helium, a bit like Fusarium a couple of years when the graphene story got, you know, hit the mainstream, you can really catch a decent vein of interest. And I think on that basis, these are going to be certainly companies to just observe, if nothing else. I think there's going to be lots of lessons from companies that are out there on the great frontier.
So you heard them speak a few years ago, that they weren't listed at that point then?
No, it was a private company. It was just starting out. It was an asset in Madagascar that they were securing. I think that 70% of the world's graphite, or certainly the quality that would be needed to make graphene, comes from a certain part of the world. And I think 70 or 80% of it is from that area in Madagascar. Mm-hmm. And I think, I had these romantic ideas about Madagascar, probably because of the cartoon and watching it with the kids, that it was a wonderfully, sort of peaceful place. But it's actually quite a troubled sort of country. But they'd got a facility on the ground. They secured that. They started to get into production pretty early. And then there was quite an opportunity to expand it out, but they didn't have the capital because it was still quite an early stage company at the time. It was private. So they ended up going out. And I think with graphene taking off and other companies around the market doing particularly well, they had quite a bit of support for it. And they have had support for it over the last few years. So yeah, they've bolted on, and that business is quite a bit bigger now than it was before. If they do half of the things they've talked about, it'll do very well. I was, tuned into one of the conference calls when they were doing the roadshow. So we'll see how it goes. As I say, Primary Bid's there. If you wanted £500, £1,000, you can take it through there. I'm not too sure on the valuation, to be perfectly honest with you. It's probably a bit out of my sort of pay grade to be able to sit and run the rule over something quite as technical as that. But a bit like the helium, I can have personal opinions on the people and the company, but ultimately when you've got something that's as, you know, like say Great Frontier type, and very little to measure it against, I think you're probably better to have a little bit in your portfolio than not. But again, that's down to the individual and how, you know, how they feel.
Have you actually done anything with primary bid dog? I've been kicking about probably most of it. Well, I don't know how long they've been about, but I've not started to notice them a lot more this year.
Yeah, so primary bid, believe it or not, there was a little team in there, a little boutique team, and that were doing the work. They were the kind of ex-Darwin strategic finance guys. And yeah, I mean, I had a chat to Anand, and I know there was a bunch of people working with Anand there. And they were kind of doing like small 250, 500,000s, topping up fundraisers for other companies and not really doing anything in great size. And then about a year ago, there was a couple of guys from, I don't know if they're ex-JP Morgan or Goldman Sachs, but they actually joined the company, and primary bid went out and did a private fundraise of about 20 million quid, something like that, or they raised the money on a 20 million valuation. And then these guys have revolutionized it. So they're obviously working with the LSE now. So they're almost, you know, endorsed by the stock exchange itself. And they're offering a real facility both to compete with the brokers and the work alongside them in completing and finalising some of the fundraisers. So certainly primary bid, just bit by bit, getting noticed more and more. And they're doing a lot bigger deals, much bigger size. So yeah, definitely things are moving on for those boys.
Yeah, because I'm just trying to think. Primary bid, they've done a big raise for Ectech, I think at 0.45, and I'm sure was it 20 million quid or $20 million? I can't remember, but that was probably the first time that they kind of caught my eye. But that seems to have worked out pretty well for Ectech, because I noticed that it's moved over one pence today, so it has, which is probably a 52-week high for that company as well, so... No, the Ectech's pushing on as well. And again, that's one of these kind of green tech plays, you know, gasification and turning rubbish into energy or various forms of energy that you can use. It's quite an interesting.
You've never company. Used primary bid then, can you?
No. I'm halfway through signing up just now.
Oh,
just
okay.
Doc was talking there.
Okay.
I mean, look, to be honest, we talk about EQ Tech, as I call them, or Ectech, and there was another one, Powerhouse Resources. Bit that Powerhouse on a massive valuation. I would have said grossly overvalued. I met that company a couple of years ago. Zach Meir introduced me to the management. And I said to the guy, look, rather than sort of, you know, fill me with a load of piss, wind and hot air, why don't I just come down to your site? I live about 25 miles down the road. I'll pop down, I'll come and have a look at it. Never heard another thing from them. So, I mean, I always kind of think to myself, and it's no different than Ectech. I mean, I've been quite critical of the company in the past with previous management, and Palumbo's gone in there instead of Price. But, you know, I remember the interview that the chairman did. I mean, the guy, he couldn't fucking string a sentence together. He made a total, you know, fool of himself. But, you know, Palumbo's come on. I believe Palumbo's a good guy. I don't know him personally. They've obviously gone out and raised a big slug of cash and they're trading in the right direction. My question now is it another one of these powerhouse things where the market just gets all caught up with the story and actually the valuation bonkers? Or is it legitimate? They're down in Deeside. I'm down in Cheshire. I'd love to go down there. I'm 30 miles away. If these companies are gonna keep, you know, trumpeting how wonderful the technology is and the opportunities, it always gets me that they're never welcoming people or inviting them down there to have a look. And that's the thing that bothers me. I spent, three or four different site visits whilst I was in Cyprus, up at Chesterfield Resources Company, walked the ground with the guys. They were very, very hospitable. And for me, that's a big flag. I know Malcolm Greenwood talks a lot about it in the oil sector. If companies, CEOs will pick the phone up, sit down, look in the whites of their eyes, or put you out on a site visit, it's because they've got nothing to hide. If they're a little bit sheepish, then one has to question what the theory is behind that. But again, I guess I'm being a bit overly opinionated.
No. That's what the podcast is for. Just while you're being opinionated and getting things off your chest. So we ended the last podcast with Telegram. Let's get that off our chest before we move on. Okay, go on, say your piece about Telegram.
Telegram specifically is
speechless.
No, I mean it's not, because it's groups in general that the issue I have the issue with. I think that what happens is, you know, humans, we're a sociable animal predominantly. We like to group together because we feel safe in numbers, and we like to have a confirmation bias, and we'll get that if we congregate with people with the same thoughts as ourselves. We'll start to get this confirmation bias from within the group, and that's sufficient for people to feel safe and secure with what they're doing. It's literally the worst fucking thing you can do in the stock market. You should be the person that's asking questions, who's, you know, testing the relationships continually to see where the inconsistency comes from. And you don't get that in groups. With Telegram, it's a step further, because, you know, this is an encrypted platform, which, if you go and look at when, you know, all of these crypto things were going on, particularly a lot of the scams that were taking place, Telegram was that encrypted platform that you could use. You can disclose, you can hide anonymously your name, your phone number, like literally anything. And then you just become a, there's just no substance to the people that are within these groups. And they will just continually keep on, you know, like one-upmanship, telling everybody what a great opportunity it is. And fucking hell, should you dare to question it, you're going to get ejected straight out of these places. And whether it be a group on Twitter, whether it be a group on WhatsApp, whether it be like the old email networks that existed when Google Groups many, many years ago come out, where these guys just fill this these threads up with just shite and obscene potential valuations, only to then go and flush out the stock in the space of a few days or hours. I just find it horrendous. There's a reason why history matters, and people can get some visibility on the things that you've said before and done before. Just to, you know, I find Telegram groups to be toxic as hell, and I find that the people that that have, in my view, that have had the wrist slapped in social media or by regulators, they all seem to find themselves in that arena as well. So I know lots of people who were prolific once upon a time in social media, on chat boards, in forums, and you just don't see them. And they're all, you know, a bit like those sort of little silver fish that come out in a damp room. They come out in Telegram. Anyway, that's my view.
And the silver fish.
Yeah, you know those horrible little fucking things that come out in damp rooms.
Do you know, I had no idea about them until I moved to the Netherlands. Because apparently they're rife here, and my wife, I'll confess now, this is completely random, I don't like spiders, right? I'm scared of spiders, okay? And you always get spiders in your house in the UK in the winter. My wife didn't care about them as much. She's terrified of these little silverfish, whereas I don't give a shit about them. So we've kind of swapped it around. But yeah, I'd never heard of them.
All you need to do is get in a couple of Telegram groups, and soon enough,
there'll be enough silverfish in there.
There's one thing more scary than a spider and silverfish, and that's a load of these wankers that spend the day on fucking Telegram. Anyway, Kenny, tell us the benefits.
So yeah, so Kenny is one of the wankers.
Yes, yeah. So my party tricks actually put spiders or worms in my mouth.
Oh, you sicko.
No, it's just that's what happens when you have a drink. Things.
Remind me never to come round your house to have a worm dipped in your mouth in a couple of times.
I'm a Telegram wanker. You won't come to my house. Really, you will.
Yeah, no, it's true, yeah. You're right.
When I'm on Telegram, I'm pretty active on Telegram. I've created quite a lot of groups. They're all public. I've never had any issues. The only people I've had to ban are Forex spammers and one, I'm going to say she was a Latin American girl that was determined to keep posting pictures of herself, and she got banned as well. Can't remember what group it was. It may have actually been the ECR group, but no, I'm responsible for creating four or five groups, but I think, listen, Doc, you're going to get them, as you say, in all forms of chat room. Telegram just appears to be at the moment the most popular, and it's probably the sleekest. You can upload absolutely anything, PDFs, PowerPoint, images. When you try to load a link to DBFN, and it just doesn't work. So it's more user-friendly. I think more of the youth are there. Yeah, it's going to have its pitfalls, I agree with you, Doc, but I just think it's a superior. I mean, the Twitter rooms are like, it's like a bolt on. Twitter's put you know, 2 years after they brought Twitter out, and never really thought about it.
All right, give me one example of one of the groups that you're in where people are having two-way debate and discussion without arguing, and actually it's balanced. Tell me the name of that group, and when was the last time you saw that?
You mean balanced?
Where you have some people who'll give a negative opinion on something, other people will give a positive opinion, they'll discuss it, they'll agree to disagree, or they'll conclude that one or the other was right, and then they'll have that type of discussion. Because in order to be successful at investing in the market, you need to be able to have that conversation, or you need to be able to bounce different ideas off people. So tell me, as the owner of four or five of these groups, tell me the group where there's that type of discussion, and when the last time you saw it? Because it might be a bit one-sided today, but it might have been yesterday or the day before. When was the last time you saw people having civil discussion that was useful?
Well, there's always civil discussion. I just said I never had to ban anyone out with Forex and mail
so
form.
So any of those chat groups that you want to invite me to join, I'll join. I'll give a contrary view on any company you like. Makes no difference. And we'll see how long it lasts before people start getting the hump. And if it's as balanced as you say, then I should still be in there in a week's time and there won't be any trouble. I'll bet my bollocks to a barnyard door, I'll be out of that group in days. No danger. You know,
the thing is, it's only admin that can remove you.
You can't leave yourself?
Well, you can leave yourself if you want, yeah. But generally, it's only admin or somebody's got admin rights that can remove you.
That can kick you out.
Well, let's see. Let's put it to test. But I tell you, Kenny, if I went on there, and you can pick any company you want, whether I'm long or short, and I'm not short of many companies anyway, I'm not short of any at the moment, but ECR, I'm long, I'll go in there and tell people why I don't think the share price will go up, and within a matter of 5 minutes, they'll be calling me all sorts of shit, and then they'll be contacting you saying, get this guy out of the group, and if that happens, that is the massive, that's the testament as to why these things don't work, because the minute anybody offers a contrary review, people want you removed. And at that point, you've not got a discussion hub or forum. What you've got is a dictatorship.
That happens in Twitter as well. You can block somebody in Twitter, and if they're in the same room as you, they'll drop out that room. So, I mean, that happens in the Twitter rooms as well. So, listen, Doc, if you wanted added to the ECR room in Twitter, I'll add you, no problem.
I've got a funny feeling it won't be that productive, but anyway, we'll run that test at some point in the not too distant future and see how it plays out.
But do you feel the same about all kind of chat?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So LSE and Twitter grooms, all those ones. It's like a club, is it?
It's a club. And the thing is, the administrators will generally dictate, so sounds to me that Kenny's quite a fair and balanced guy. And I mean, personally, I'd have no problem with the Latino girl showing a tit. But I mean, if that's something that offends the ECR group, I don't want to be in it. But I mean, that I could live with that. What I can't live with is where we've got this continued narrative that's built up around. I read on one of these groups about 6 months ago, and someone sent me a link, and they said, "Have a look at this. It's open." And it was literally people encouraging each other to go onto social media to keep on pushing this narrative and agenda. And they were saying, look, this is what's just been released. Push this out. And actually, the information they were putting out was negative, but they were that thick. They hadn't really read the announcement. So they just thought, oh, it's news. It's got to be great because somebody else said it was. And about 8 to 10 different people were all saying the same thing. And I thought to myself, not only does it poison and infect, social media, because all these people are saying, well, how fabulous this news is when it was absolute dog shit. Not only are they infecting people with the dross, but they haven't even got they're not even astute enough to be able to read the announcement to establish whether it's any good or not. And again, all that, it's like going down a kennels, and as soon as you walk in, as soon as the big dog barks, all the other dogs bark. Well, look, that's not how you become successful at investing. And I'm sure that some of these groups that Kenny talks about are very, very responsible, and people are not sort of misleading and being disingenuous. But there's so many out there that are, and it burns and hurts lots of people. It's a baptism of fire for some of these punters who end up falling into those groups. And I just feel that if you're in an arena where you can look at Kenny and say, he's been on Twitter for 4 years, he's involved with Sterling Bridge and this, whatever, then there's something to go at. And if people say, well, Doc Holliday, I'd be behind an avatar and a name, that's fair enough. But people can look me up. I've got 5-10 years of history, writing, blogging. I was in the Sunday Times last year. So I've been around, and what I'm saying is people have got something to look at and say, well, that's an established individual. But just to go onto a Telegram where you've got a name that can change, by the way. So I can join the ECR group and I can be Doc, and then I can go and join another group and I can be Mark, and I can go and join another group. And you can just say who you are. Nobody has any idea. There's no number or pictures or anything related. I just find it. And I'm on my soapbox. Get me down. Let's find something to talk about.
Yeah, I knew you would. That's why I've done it. Anyway, the thing is, the pen's been put back in, so we'll keep that for now. Keep that for another week, but so what we're looking at that's not happened yet, what's the next big mover, the next Helium One or the next ECR?
Well, look, if we follow the resource space, given that gold seemingly and silver has been going in the right direction again, I honestly think Empire Metals, I know you said you'd actually pick, I'm noticing, Kenny, you're quite savvy, aren't you? You've picked these up at 3.31, you said to me, and I bought them at 3.229, and I bought them weeks and weeks ago, and I've seen like them go up quite a lot and come all the way back down, done nothing about it, and I've held them, so I've tied my money up for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then 0.02p later you just come swanning in probably just at the right time, because it seems that they're going up now.
Can I tell you something? I actually had them at 2p three or four months ago. And there was a mini spike, and I took them out, and I never revisited it. But that was before this Eclipse project came in the scene. It was more around the Mooney Mooney project that they've got in Australia. But that seems to be tied up in a bit of a legal wrangle at the moment. But I think that's a cracking project. So it is, if they could sort out the issues with that. With that project, I think it's the biggest PGM deposit in Australia. So it is.
I mean, it's quite smart, isn't it? They've got that PGM asset. Should they get whatever issues they've got resolved, they've got a massive PGM asset. They've obviously got this Empire, this Eclipse asset now as well, which is, I think, of great interest and certainly not been valued. They've managed to get an exit on their situation over in Georgia, which means that the company received a decent amount of cash, which was totally written off. So they get a decent amount of cash, but they've still got a bit of a free carried interest there too. So, I don't think they're in bad fettle at all. And they've raised the cash. There shouldn't be another fundraise for quite a while. And the share price it was 5.5p a couple of weeks ago. It's 3.5 today. I mean, I think there's a bit of mileage in that.
Yeah, and there's shared management, isn't there, with Chesterfield, is that right?
What was that?
There's shared management with Chesterfield Resources as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So you've got one of the non-exec directors is sitting in Empire in Chesterfield. I've had quite a bit of dialogue with him over the years. He's also sitting on a number of companies in Canada that most people probably aren't aware of. They've done very, very well for themselves. He's done very well for himself. So I don't think he's in the business of sitting around getting 20, 30 grand a year as a non-exec unless he's actually in it for a bit more. He's one of those guys that basically he comes in, puts his own money in. Some of his friends over in Canada will put some money in, and then he sits on the board to make sure that their interests are being looked after. So again, that sort of reinforces to me that these guys are not here for shits and giggles. They're here to make a few quid.
Yeah. And Chesterfield's obviously just sort of floating around that sort of 15 pence mark. It'd be nice to build a base there and then build from that level.
Well, look, they rallied up to sort of 18, 19p. And I think, we can all admit that's sort of getting ahead of itself a little bit. Even though they brought in that FTSE 100 company at Polymetals, it was getting it was really heated. But yeah, a bit of a pullback, get down to a more of a sensible level. Market caps fucking still small. Even though it looks to have come such a long way, if you look at the market cap today, we just have a quick butchers.
It's got a
market cap of 11 million quid, hasn't it? Plus the new money coming in. So what's that?
Yeah.
13.5 million quid, fully funded for 2021 with a FTSE 100 partner. And they've just expanded the landmass, which is already about 240 square kilometres. They've just put in for another application for something down near Evelyn-Many or the Evelyn pit. So we've not even had the results from there yet, but they've already gone out and announced to the market that they're putting another application for the adjacent land. So, I mean, that tells you everything, doesn't it? If they've seen something down there that they like the look of, they've gone for the land opposite. A FTSE company's been prepared to come in without waiting for results. So, I mean, you know, not one to want to lead too much. Yes, it was getting heated and it had come a long way, but it's back at 14, 15p on what, 13, 40 million valuation post money. I mean, it's as cheap as chips, I think. I honestly think it's going to do 30p soon.
Yeah, right. We'll revisit. Okay. Anything catching your eye, or were you quite happy just to dabble in ECR after?
Yeah, and then not, what's catching my eye? No, nothing particular. As I topped up on ECR, that was the main one. I've not really changed anything in my portfolio since the last time that we spoke. I mean, one area that I'm quite excited about, I got really excited about, is esports. There's not many investment opportunities for esports, but I think the sector in general is could actually be absolutely massive one day. It already is getting there. There's university courses now that have courses in esport management. And I think that's just going to be something that's just going to be huge. But at the moment...
It's enormous, isn't it? It's enormous.
It's huge.
You know, we talked about it, you know, the way you could transfer advertisement onto people's clothing. We talked about Bidstack. You know, I think my boy was playing on NBA 2K21 or whatever it was. And they're already got a guy there, esports championship in, you know, $250,000 for the prize winner. It's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, there's only two opportunities in the UK as far as I'm aware. Blue Star Capital, which I've got a nice spread of.
Yeah, Blue Star,
I mean, we actually spoke to Derek Liu. In fact, the podcast went out today. So Derek was, just to put you in the picture, Doc, so it was like a... 10 to 12 in Vancouver, you know, in the morning. And he'd already had a beer in his hand. I was distraught. I didn't have a beer in my hand. But he's quite a quirky guy. He sounds like the kind of guy you would have a good night out with. But he's smart as well. He's really smart. And he's obviously pinpointed a lot of these investments.
Do you reckon he put spiders in his mouth?
Well, he's from Vancouver, so yeah. But we've all got these things we do.
Well, I've not been out with Kenny yet, so I'm yet to be. I've heard stories, and I'm a bit scared. I don't know if I will go out with him, to be honest. When the opportunity arises. And what was the other one, Kenny? That you got Blue Star, and what there was another one was.
There? Oh, so the sort of Guild obviously IPO'd recently, and I've not actually checked how that's performed since Guild Esports. So that's one of the
endorsed by the great David Beckham.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the complaints there was David doesn't like to put his own money in the company, so he gets paid about, is it £1,000 per minute or something like that for 3 years, and he's going to do very well out of it. I mean, what you would say is, talk about pegging a company on the map. You won't get much better than having David Beckham as your ambassador, but I think he's taking about 20-odd million quid out of the company over the next 3 years, so they better deliver, because if not, shareholders are going to be sick as pigs.
You certainly could have a bigger face for esports. I believe even is it FIFA 2021? He's made a reappearance. Is that right? I don't play any PS games or Xbox games, so I don't know. I think he was paid to appear in that as well. I don't know. I read something somewhere that he's back in FIFA 20. I don't know.
I don't even know how relevant he is these days. I know he was one of those, a bit like Gary Barlow, kept sniffing around trying to get himself knighted, but you know. Looking at how some of these people who get knighted end up, I mean, I'm not sure how much I'd want to be doing it myself, given Sir Jimmy Savile and those kind of guys were questionable characters. Anyway, I'm not to suggest that David's not a good, honest, decent chap, but I mean, I think there's a couple of them, isn't there, that these superstars that are always doing the right things and making appearances. But I'm not sure if they're all for the right reasons. Anyway, such is life. But I digress.
Just to digress a bit further then, I heard you made an investment last week, Doc. So you did, and you've joined me and Mark.
Yeah, bought 10 kilos of silver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got blagged into it, didn't I?
Goodbye, Kenny.
Yeah.
You know, try to build up a wee bundle of coins, and Doc just comes in and trumps me with 10 kilogram purchase. So my attitude that was a bugger that, so I went and bought 7 kilograms.
Oh, so, great. So you've got a little competition going between
you. It's a competition now, yeah. Two can get the biggest worm in the mouth now, isn't it, Kenny?
that's what it is, yeah. Who can fit the most 1 kilogram bars in their mouth? I think you would win that one, Doc. I think you've got a lot of mouth, so I think...
You're not wrong. Well, I'm a gobshite, but I'm at least I've got an element of self-awareness that some people don't have. You know what I mean? So I'll be the first to admit it. What about the? We talked a little bit about Ascent Resources, didn't we? The last time we were on, I noticed almost immediately, within the space of a session or two, the shares in Ascent had kind of moved from 5p up to 7p, sort of softened a little bit since. But I do think that Slovenia news could be the catalyst for it to get on a bit of a move. Anybody who's a bit nervous might want to wait and wait for the RNS before they buy it, because you never know what might happen between now and then. But I noticed, as I suggested in the last interview we did, Jennings was certainly wagging his tail over this one, and he's come out and announced that he's increased his position as well. So yeah, quite interesting that one too. Lots going on.
Yeah, there's lots. I mean, obviously, we talked about Nostra Terra the last couple of times we've been on as well. It just seems to be sitting there, sort of waiting for news. So it is. It can't stay. That's a £2 million market cap.
Whatever. Not a chance. I mean, you know, there's a lot of support for Mosman Oil and Gas. Historically, been horrendous. We're seeing a bit more support now for Echo Energy. I think the news today from Echo Energy is signalling that company going on a bit of a journey. A couple of my sources around the city have told me that there was only two or three participants in that fundraise that they did. It wasn't the usual sort of retail-y guys. It was more sort of well-established individuals. That one seems to be heading in the right direction. And then you look at Echo Energy, you look at Nostra Terra. They're looking to get to cash flow positive. All of the options that the board have issued themselves are subject to the company being able to watch its face and break even. And I think when you look at the oil price going from 41 to 48 bucks, that's going to really help the company get on its way. So, you know, we've not had the news yet. The initial announcement was very encouraging. We know that there's going to be a bit of news in the matter of days. I think the market, as soon as you get a little bit of interest, you can't get anything under half a penny. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that at 0.75p. You know, in the not too distant future. So yeah, lots of going on in that sort of space, and I think oil's looking good for Q1 2021 as well.
Yeah, because the oil price is just flirting with $50 a barrel at the moment, isn't it?
45, yeah.
I wonder how significant that is. If it breaks the $50, if it'll push on quickly. But and suppose the world's starting to then come back to normal slowly but surely, so that you'd think the demand for oil will increase again, but who knows what's around the corner.
What happens here is, you know, the Saudis predominantly will OPEC will make decisions on how much production that, you know, that they're going to provide, and production figures were still quite high when the consumer use fell off a cliff due to COVID. So we had this massive problem. We had a huge oversupply, a glut of oil. We didn't have anywhere to store it, so there was tankers floating all around the seas around the world, loaded to the gunwales, and we were still producing because, as many people know, a lot of these wells, you can't just turn them off and on like an engine. You've got to, you know, it's a process to starting and stopping these things, and it's, you know, in some cases it can be quite damaging. So, you know, production and has, I believe now. They've started to get more of a control over it. And I would hazard a guess that the oil price starts to go up because production global production has slowed down a little bit in order to let the price come back. I spoke to Andrew Munker about 6 months ago, and he started talking about the forward curve. If you ever want to really get an idea what oil's doing, don't look at the price today, but go and look at what the price is being valued at in a year's time, because that generally has been true to date for where the price will be. And the forward curve earlier in the year was about $50 to $51, and that was for 12 months ahead. So let's say April, May. Now, if things keep going the way they're going, that curve will that'll continue to increase somewhat. But yeah, I think we're starting to get back to some level of normality, and companies that were struggling to make money at $35, $40, at $50 they're able to make cash. At $60 they're making quite a considerable amount. $70 these guys have become extremely affluent quickly. So that oil price is making a big difference to companies. The difference between 35 and 50 is immense. And I think we'll start seeing some of that value go into that oil sector next year.
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to put, now we're doing this share competition for 2021. So I'm putting two oil companies as out of my five picks. So I'm going to put Advanced Energy, which is pretty much off everybody's radar, but that's fine. Another one that's even more off the radar, Valura, which is ticker VLU and LSE and VLE and TSX. So that's my two dark horse picks for
next year.
For next year in the 2021 stock challenge. So we'll probably need to get another three. So we need to get our thinking caps on, and we can't pick the same stocks as each other. So I think you had a couple of, didn't you?
Yeah, look, I'm going to go for stock of December as Contango Resources, because I think Contango Holdings, I think that's going to go well. We talked about that last time too, but yeah, that's my stock for this year. I'll start thinking about next year for next time we're on, if you want.
Yeah, go for it. You as well, Mark. Pick five
for next for 2021. Yeah, okay.
And we can get a bit of competition going, and we can put some money to charity at the end of 2021. And see who wins. Yeah. Any oil stocks out there that I need to get my research head into them. I don't understand the whole process. I would like to, but it's going to take a long time to get up to speed. Because you look at some of these RNSs coming out, and you know, like is it wireline logging? I mean, I didn't even know what that was. You know, so I've got to. I probably still don't know what it is. I mean, my understanding, Doc, you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong, wireline logging, so basically they're going down and they're testing different, let's call it, pay zones.
Yeah, different pay zones, yeah. So, I mean, I kind of always liken it to, you know, for the simple layman who dangles worms in his mouth, it's something along the line of, if you were to get one of those old carton drinks with a straw and you pop it in the top, there's two things you're looking for, and that's some natural pressure. You know, depending on where the straw goes into the carton will depend on how much liquid you can get out. So you want to pop that carton, and you want to try and hit it as far up the drink as you possibly can, because that's where you're going to be able to extract with the natural pressure as much as possible. And the way you can simulate that is if you were to get one of those Ribena drinks or whatever and pop the top and just leave the straw in a little bit at the top, and you think, well, there's nothing coming up, just blow a bit of air into the carton and then let it go, and you'll get the Ribena popping straight into your mouth. And that's pretty much the very easy way to explain how oil drilling goes. If you go right to the bottom of the drink, you would think, well, you're going to get to the bottom of the reservoir, but I think... you have lots of water. You always are going to encounter water with oil, and it gets a bit more challenging if you're at the bottom, because I think oil naturally floats, doesn't it? So you want to be as high up the structure as you possibly can be, and that's my 101 on oil and gas. I'm not an expert, and that's why I speak to people who know a lot more than me. But that's my layman understanding.
Yeah, there's a scene in There Will Be Blood. Have you seen that film?
Mm-hmm. Guys? Yeah, it's a good film.
There's a scene in that as well where, what's his name? Daniel. He's going to steal the oil for his neighbour's lease. He's already taken it. And that was with straws as well. It was quite a very strange film. But it's good. Anything else? I'm going to talk absolute rubbish. So...
No, well, that would be movie reviews. I mean, we've had the Latino lots of bit of bangers out on the on the Telegram. Dink worm dangling. Anything else? Any special tricks? Party tricks for you, Mark? At the party?
No, I can't do any of that. I'm the guy. I'm the guy in the back who, you know, just, you know, keeps himself to himself. I wouldn't say I've got any party tricks. Maybe I should think I've got any for next week. But No.
Oh, well.
What about you, Doc? Well, you must have some. Come on, you must have some advice.
No, do you know what? To be honest, there's a lot of things I could tell you, but I prefer to try. I'm conscious that some people who think I'm a respectful, you know, half decent individual would be horrified at some of the things that I've done. So I prefer to keep that to myself or tell you in person. But
okay.
I suppose a spider in the mouth is probably about as hell reason as I'll be getting as well, or admitting to. That's for certain.
No worries.
Excellent. Perfect. Okay. Well, great. That's been nearly an hour again, so that's fantastic. It's a good chat. Thank you very much, Doc, for your time.
And look, let's have a team round of applause for Darren Hazelwood at Panther Metals. The price is up again. Well done, Darren.
Yeah, good, the price is up. Good old Dazzler. Yeah, 12% today, isn't it?
Perfect. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Seemingly, the market's it's hot. And you know what? One of the things we maybe try and round up, if we manage before Christmas, is how it's been like shooting fish in a barrel for lots of people.
Yeah.
Certainly in the sort of summer into the back end of this year. It wasn't great early in the year, but the summer and the back end has been quite easy. It won't stay like this. Mm. And I think some of these newbie investors who are tuning into this podcast, they really need to be, aware that cash is king, and just having a little bit, being a bit sensible and managing expectations in 21 will be pertinent to preserving some of the good work that we've done already this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, excellent. Just before you go, Doc, give us a stock to look out for this week, something that's on your watch list.
I mean, you've invested in Contango. I think Contango's okay. Right. I look at the announcement that the company have just put out. They've pretty much said that they're going out to site. I had a chat with a friend of mine today who is technically very sort of savvy. They reckon that, having read the report on the coal asset, it's tidy. It's lacks a little bit of it, you know, sort of sparkle or spunk, but I think the gold asset's good. I think, you know, the company has said very clearly, we're going to give you another update before the end of the year. I honestly can't see they're going to come out and say, yeah, we think that asset's a load of dross. They're going to come out and say, the asset looks fabulous, and we've started to look at some of this technical data, and it's wonderful. We're going to do X, Y, and Z, stand by your beds, and look forward to it in 21. And, you know, markets love that sort of stuff. So for me, Contango Holdings, I think that's one that's going to do well. All eyes on ECR tomorrow morning as well.
Mark?
Well, I'm going to say ECR this week.
Yeah, okay.
Well, thanks for that, Kenny. Let's end it there, Mark, because I can't hear a word. You're still talking and nobody can hear a word.
I need to get my new mic set up. No, I'm going to go for Red Rock Resources. So I'm going to go for
something. Are you going for Red Rock Resources? Wow, okay.
Yeah. Love the radar. I've got a hunch that the Australian licences are going to come in the next, before Christmas. And once
it's funny you should say that, you know, because I had an interesting little chat with my old mate, Mr. Lundy, and he sort of said to me, Uncle Steve, as I like to refer to him, and he was asking me, you know, what I thought about the licenses in that area. And I actually said, you know, if you were going to have a go at anything based on the licenses, I would go for Red Rock because of its valuation. Yeah, I wouldn't go for Red Rock because of its management, but I would definitely go for it based on the valuation and the potential of a reflective, positive hit from everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I'd done a few tweets today because I like to troll through these historical reports, and the smallest license that they've got in their portfolio is called Sabinia. I think it's only 4 square kilometres, but right next to Ubain Resources just paid $3 million for a license.
You know? All right, okay.
You know, and that was right next door to the Sardinian license, and it's got nuggets historically up to 750 ounces, and every single license that's in that joint portfolio, it's got historical ounces mined. It's got historical nuggets. I think it's a no-brainer. Once these licenses are granted, and I'm going to say it's going to happen in the next 10 days. I've just got that gut feeling. Well, yeah, Red Rock.
Okay.
I think it's miles behind the curve. So, and what people don't realise as well is Red Rock's stake in Power Metal Resources is actually over £1 million now in warrants and shares. You know, so
well, what Andrew Bell should be doing is selling some shares in it, because it looks to me a bit toppy, and then making sure that the company at Red Rock is financially secure moving forward, and he'll get all the credit he deserves for doing it. So far, he doesn't appear to want to, but then again, he did have the it was fortuitous enough with the Jupiter mine, which ended up going on to be worth a fortune. However, he doesn't seem to have got that many right. So I guess what I'm saying is he seems to be in the right postcode. Would you not want to try and fortify a balance sheet at the same time? But agreed, Red Rock looks interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Good stuff. Okay, since my signal's crap and I'm talking nonsense, I think we'll call it a day.
Yep. Hasta luego. See you soon.
Cheers.
Bye. See you guys. Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Fairbairn and Russell. Tune in next time.